him, even though he be remiss. Mark what I say, remiss, not recalcitrant. What then, you say? Do we not know certain men who have sat for many years at the feet of a philosopher, and yet have not acquired the slightest tinge of wisdom? Of course I know such men. There are indeed persevering gentlemen who stick at it. I do not call them pupils of the wise, but merely squatters. Certain of them come to hear and not to learn, just as we are attracted to the theater to satisfy the pleasures of the ear, whether by a speech, or by a song, or by a play. This class, as you will see, constitutes a large part of the listeners, who regard the philosopher's lecture room merely as a sort of lounging place for their leisure. They do not set about to lay aside any faults there, or to receive a rule of life, by which they may test their characters. They merely wish to enjoy to the full the delights of the ear. And yet some arrive even with notebooks, not to take down the matter, but only the words, that they may presently repeat them to others, with as little profit to these as they themselves received when they heard them. A certain number are stirred by high-sounding phrases, and adapt themselves to the emotions of the speaker with lively change of face and mind, just like the emasculated Phrygian priests who are wont to be roused by the sound of the flute and go mad to order. But the true hearer is ravished and stirred by the beauty of the subject matter, not by the jingle of empty words. When a bold word has been uttered in defiance of death, or a saucy fling in defiance of fortune, we take delight in acting straightway upon that which we have heard. Men are impressed by such words and become what they are bidden to be, should but the impression abide in the mind, and should the populace, who discourage honorable things, not immediately lie in wait to rob them of this noble impulse. Only a few can carry home the mental attitude with which they were inspired. It is easy to rouse a listener so that he will crave righteousness, for nature has laid the foundations and planted the seeds of virtue in us all, and we are all born to these general privileges. Hence, when the stimulus is added, the good spirit is stirred, as if it were freed from bonds. Have you not noticed how the theater re-echoes whenever any words are spoken whose truth we appreciate generally and confirm unanimously? The poor lack much. The greedy man lacks all. A greedy man does good to none. He does most evil to himself. At such verses as these, your meanest miser claps applause and rejoices to hear his own sins reviled. How much more do you think this holds true when such things are uttered by a philosopher when he introduces verses among his wholesome precepts, that he may thus make those verses sink more effectively into the mind of the neophyte. Cleanthes used to say, "As our breath produces a louder sound when it passes through the long and narrow opening of the trumpet and escapes by a hole which widens at the end, even so, the fettering rules of poetry clarify our meaning." The very same words are more carelessly received and make less impression upon us when they are spoken in prose. But when meter is added, and when regular prosody has compressed a noble idea, then the self-same thought comes, as it were, hurtling with a fuller fling. We talk much about despising money, and we give advice on this subject in the lengthiest of speeches, that mankind may believe true riches to exist in the mind and not in one's bank account, and that the man who adapts himself to his slender means and makes himself wealthy on a little sum is the truly rich man. But our minds are struck more effectively when a verse like this is repeated: "He needs but little who desires but little." Or, "He hath his wish, whose wish includeth not save that which is enough." When we hear such words as these, we are led towards a confession of the truth. Even men in whose opinion nothing is enough wonder and applaud when they hear such words and swear eternal hatred against money. When you see them thus disposed, strike home. Keep at them and charge them with this duty, dropping all double meanings, syllogisms, hair-splitting, and the other side shows of ineffective smartness. Preach against greed.